This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
We've already heard God say so much this morning. We've heard a huge invitation to live life fully in the Holy Spirit. And the songs we've been singing, Your Name Be Lifted High, It's You We Glorify, Jesus. And life in the Holy Spirit will always point you there. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to point people to Jesus, to lift him up. And I wanted to start us this morning, and it really neatly encapsulates, I think, everything that's come so far, including the provocation and the challenge to us that Simon laid out in response to what we hear, which is something Matt Burden said last week when he ministered. He said this: all things can be done by the power of God. They can be done by the Spirit of God whom we follow. And that is going to completely transform the way that we live and who we are in order to display God's glory in the earth. All things can be done in the power of God. They can be done by the Spirit of God whom we follow. And that is going to completely transform the way that we live and who we are in order to display God's glory in the earth. And I feel that that has very much been the invitation, the exhortation, and the instruction to us this morning, again, received through the prophetic words that have come through many. That statement, it's both a declaration of what's divinely possible, but also a prophecy. And that is going to completely transform the way that we live, who we are, in order to display God's glory in the earth. But as Simon came up lastly, we do not get the complete transformation of our lives and see God's glory displayed without that divine possibility becoming a reality. And the divine possibility he spoke of was all things that we do being done by the person of the Holy Spirit as we follow him. His work in us, which is revealing Jesus to us more and more, and our obedience to what he shows us equals things done by him through us. The Holy Spirit's work in us, revealing Jesus to us more and more, and our obedience to what he shows us equals things done by him through us. And therein, the complete transformation promised happens. That is the invitation of God to us. He never intended for us to live a life that was possible without him. We may do many things that we don't, quote, require God for. We get in our car every day, we turn it on, we drive to work, we drive to school, we go to the supermarket, we do our shopping. We do many natural things that we don't necessarily need a miracle for. But the beautiful invitation and possibility for us is for us not to do things naturally, for us to do them through him. A life lived, led by the Holy Spirit is miraculous, even if what is being done in any given moment appears mundane. The Apostle Paul refers to this kind of life in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 onwards, where he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. And there's another promise for us. The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Matt's statement, all things can be done in the power of God. They can be done by the Spirit of God whom we follow. How? Go on as you started. Go on as you started. How did our life in God begin? The Holy Spirit revealed who Jesus is to us, and we responded by receiving and declaring him as Lord, repenting of our old life. In chapter 1 of Ruth, where we've been for the past many weeks. We begin with a famine in the land of Judah. And we're all familiar with this by now. Elimelech leaves there together with his wife, Naomi, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to live in Moab. Elimelech then dies. Mahlon and Chilion marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And after about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion die. And Naomi is left with her sons and her husband. And in verse 6, it says this. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. She returns to the place she had come from. She went back to the place where she started, where the story begins, because God was present. That got me thinking about the day I got born again. My Uncle Mark and Auntie Anne McKeown, some of you know them, some of you don't. They'd been praying for our family for 10 years. And I walked into Lawrence Saunders Road Baptist Church one night. And it was the first time I'd ever been in a meeting where people were just worshipping and adoring Jesus for who he is. And I tangibly felt and knew, God is here. He's actually here. And then as the pastor began to minister the word of God, it was as if, and it was, every word being spoken was a word into my life. It was God showing me who he was, telling me of my sin, telling me about these are why you have these problems, and just Jesus revealing himself to me in a moment. And there was an altar call at the end. And I went up and got on my knees at the front of the church. My auntie and uncle were to the left and to the right of me. And the pastor was before me. And I closed my eyes. And as I closed my eyes, I felt a hand press right here. And when I opened my eyes, there was no hand there. And I tangibly knew God was in that moment. I saw Jesus for the first time for who he was. I saw my sin, but I saw the price he paid on the cross. I saw that his blood was enough. And when the invitation came, do you want to receive Jesus as Lord? Yes, I do, because that's who you are. And I received it. And from that moment on, I felt a weight that had been there almost physically lift. And that was the removal, the actual effect of his blood in my life, the removal of sin. There's a different experience for everyone. But this much is true for us all. The Holy Spirit was at work in that moment. The Holy Spirit was at work in that moment and we responded to him. Don't let the passage of time or hazy recollection downplay its significance. It wasn't just some other natural occurrence in our lives. It was miraculous. Impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit and our response to him. We are children born, not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God himself. We did not in a moment decide to get born again in the sense of it being achievable on our own. The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to us, and in seeing him for who he is for the first time, we believed in him and received him. Amen. When we were born again, we said something. We said, Jesus is Lord. The Bible tells us no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You may not have seen the lame walk the day you got born again. You may not have seen deaf ears unstopped the day you got born again. But the first otherwise impossible thing without the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives happened. We saw Jesus for who he is and we said he is Lord. A miracle right at the start of our Christian lives. Miraculous beginning. What's the point? The point is this. The Holy Spirit at work in us, showing us who Jesus is, and our response to him is where we began. And he never intended a moment from that time on to be lived in any other way. Naomi went back to the place she started. She went back to the place she started. He has not gone anywhere. We've heard this morning. He is resident in you. He is resident in me. He's resident in us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But the degree to which is touching on what Simon brought, the degree to which we see the evidence of that depends on our going on as we started in response to the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us all the time. All things can be done in the power of God. They can be done by the Holy Spirit whom we follow. What does he do? He shows us Jesus all the time. T. Austin Sparks says this in a book called Spiritual Senses. He says, what is the beginning of the Christian life? It is a seeing. It must be a seeing. The very logic of things demands that it shall be a seeing for this reason. The whole of the Christian life. So as we started, how we go on. The whole of the Christian life is a progressive movement from one line to one end. That line and that end is Christ. The issue of spiritual sight is the recognition of the Lord Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit revealing who he is to us all the time. And it is going to be that way from the start through to the finish. Sometimes we can balk at the simplicity of that. You know, we even sometimes jokingly say, if you get stuck, you know the answer is Jesus. Or, you know, the children in Hot Rock, if they put their hand up, you know, they're asked a question, say, is it Jesus? But yes, it is. It is. He is the first and the last. He was dead. Behold, he's alive forevermore. He is the living one. The Father was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, by him, through him, for him. All things were made that are made. He is the baptizer of us in the Holy Spirit. He's the one. He's the only one that can do the work of God. And he lives in us. He's our Lord and Savior. He's Lord of all. Roger Aubrey's question the last time he was with us was, is he enough for you? Not because he's in any way inadequate or lonely, but because he's Lord of all. Yeah. And sometimes there's a temptation to think, well, I've seen Jesus. Now we just get on with the mission, don't we? We heard the mission repeated this morning, you know, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We just get on with that. Sometimes we stray into getting on with the mission, forgetting him. But it's not possible to do what he told us to do without him. It is only divinely possible by the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, which is when we heard through Tony Ling the invitation, just jump straight in, the Holy Spirit. That's the invitation to us. I heard Bill Johnson say recently about the Great Commission, if you're not overwhelmed by the assignment, then you haven't seen what it is he's asked us to do. And that's why the Great Commission concludes with a promise, and we heard it prophetically this morning, I am with you always. That's how we finished the instruction. Go and do this. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Why? Because it is going to take my ongoing presence with you to achieve what I just told you to do. He is both author, right at the start, Naomi went back to the place she started, and perfecter of our faith all the way through from beginning to end. Yes, it's all about Jesus. We must continually see him all the time. The good work he began, he will carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 2, you can turn there, you don't need to, I'm going to read it for us. In Revelation 2, God tells John to write what he has seen, what is now, and what will take place later. And as part of that, he tells him to write to the angel of the church in Ephesus. And he says this is what he's told to write to them. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. He finishes off with some tough words, but the grace of God is, he comes first and says, repent. Not because they were necessarily in sin. He commended them for all the good things they were doing. But he says, repent and do the things you did at first. Let me take you back to where you started. Not for a nostalgic visit, but because how you began is how you are to continue. Naomi went back to the place she started. We had a miraculous, supernatural birth. So is our life to be. Our birth came about by the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus and our response in believing him and repenting of our old way of life. So is the rest of our life to be. It's only going to work by the operation of the Holy Spirit doing that in us all the time. The foundation of our Christian life is Christ, for none other can be laid. And being careful how we build, which is what the Bible instructs us to do, is ensuring that we build in the same way we started. The Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us and our ongoing response to him. What was the first thing we did? Jesus' disciples asked him in John 6, what must we do to do the works that God requires? What must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus answered them, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Does that mean it's all you'll do? No. They often asked him that. They said, well, they said, Jesus, show us the way you are going. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just show us the Father, Jesus. That'll be enough for us. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the exact representation of him. What did Jesus do? He pointed them back to himself because it was never intended that we would believe in Jesus and then get on with his work. His intent is we would get on with his work by believing in Jesus. He never intended that we would once believe in him and get on with his work. We get on with his work by believing in Jesus. Yes, that's right. The Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us all the time. It's how we began. Naomi went back to the place she started. Holy Spirit's intent is to continue to reveal Jesus to us just as he did at the start, and that our response may be a continual following him, and that this is how we will do the works that God requires. Matt's statement, all things can be done in the power of God. They can. This is the divine possibility. They can be done by the Spirit of God, but whom we follow as he reveals Jesus to us more and more. In thinking about starting places, it's obviously a new year, and New Year's resolutions will have been made. And I looked up an article on a site called Runtastic, which, Chris, you may have visited, I know, Runtastic, and concerning New Year's resolutions and statistics from the States. It was taken from 2017, not this year, and it said this. US News reported that by the second week of February, 80% of those who set New Year's resolutions have fallen off the bandwagon and given up. In 2017, the most popular New Year's resolution was to lose weight and eat healthier. However, only 9.2% of people who set resolutions actually reported feeling that they were successful in achieving what they set out to do. According to the same survey that he was referring to, 37.8% of people in their 20s reported achieving their resolution every year, while only 16.3% of those over 50 did. Now, that article is obviously slanted. It doesn't go into the success stories of which I'm sure there are many. But what it does tell us is this. Relatively, some people's self-will is stronger than others. But there is a superior way of transformation for us, as Matt declared and prophesied. Change for us is not dependent on the flesh. It was crucified with Christ. We're not to be conformed to the world's way of transformation. That's not to say don't set a New Year's resolution. That's not God saying don't do New Year's resolutions. But his promise is, by the Holy Spirit whom we follow, complete transformation of the way that we live and who we are in order to display God's glory in the earth. It's not my will, but yours be done. Other journeys taken in Scripture are, I believe, illustrative of what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us this morning. In Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read this story. It's just after Jesus was buried and resurrected, and it's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it says this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." These disciples had started with Jesus in Jerusalem. Their journey began with Jesus in Jerusalem. They had been following him. They witnessed what he'd been saying and doing. But when we meet them, they're walking in a direction away from Jerusalem without him. There's even a time in the story where Jesus comes up, walks alongside them, but they are kept from recognizing him. And you can read that one of two ways. You could say, well, did God keep them? But actually, when Jesus asked, "What are you discussing?" and they describe what they'd seen, I believe this is valid. They could not see the Jesus alongside them because they were thinking about the Jesus they had seen crucified and were downcast because in their finite understanding, he was coming to restore the nation of Israel when he was actually coming to redeem the whole world. It was in their fellowship with him, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It was in their fellowshipping with him, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And it was in their recognized him, they got up, turned around, back to the place where they started, when they originally began journeying with him. The issue of spiritual sight is seeing Jesus all the way along. And it is going to be that way from start to finish. The grace of God to these two disciples was that Jesus came pursuing them as they were heading away. But this is the way of life for us, God says. "I never intended for you once to see me, then take a step without me. I am always with you, but I intend to continue to make myself known to you in our fellowship together. And by me being known to you in our fellowship, that will always bring about a repentance. That is a repentance from any way in which you are going where I am not, and anything in which you are doing which I am not doing, and a repentance too, journeying with me every step in the step of the way in where I am going and what I am doing." Amen. Matt prophesied, "All things being done by the Spirit of God whom we follow will completely transform the way that we live and who we are in order to display God's glory in the earth." That holds true for us in this, seeing Jesus daily in our fellowship with him. Simon said this morning, what does that mean for me? Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. That's going to look different for everyone in this room. Last time, when Simon preached last, actually, the Holy Spirit said to me very specifically, "I want you to start every day on your knees." Not because you religiously must do that all the rest of your life, but at this time, I want you to start every day on your knees. Why? Because that's the place I want you in at this time, to fellowship with me. For others of us, it will be different. But that's the invitation. Fellowshipping with him. Another person that I'm shortly going to finish, I'm just going to take us to another journey in scripture that was taken, where we can see this happen, which is Jacob's journey. While he was on his way, he had his encounter with God in his dream, and it's in Genesis 28, verses 10 to 22. And it says this. I'll just wait for you to get there, for those of you who are turning. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, meaning the house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Everything about his journey before he encountered God was entirely natural. It was night. He was tired. He came to a place. He stopped and he slept. Every single night we go to bed, we go to sleep, we get up. Everything about that, very, very ordinary. He encounters God in his dream. And when he woke up, though naturally speaking, nothing about the place where he was had changed. It was no longer just a place to stop for a nap for him because he was tired. His declaration was, the Lord is here and I was not aware of it. He declares it the house of God. And early the next morning, he gets up and what was a pillar becomes the pillar and he anoints it with oil. Let's get those not mixed up. His perspective had entirely altered because of his revelation of Christ. In light of that revelation, he begins to transform the natural environment around him. It was just a place he stopped and slept. He meets with God. It's now the house of God, and I'm going to start to transform it. And of course, we know the picture of oil in the Old Testament is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God wants for us, as Matt prophesied. At home, school, the workplace, college, the street, the supermarket, as we continually fellowship with the Holy Spirit and he shows us Jesus, that these places are no longer just the places where we go to do our daily stuff. The Holy Spirit wants those places to become the place where we're conscious of him. I am with you always, wherever you go. And not only that, then we begin to become the instruments of his change because we've been in continual fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because we're seeing him, and when we see him, we know what he wants us to do in any given moment. I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. All things can be done in the power of God. They can be done by the Holy Spirit of God whom we follow. As we recognize Jesus with us, he's always with us. But it's in our fellowship we recognize him. As we recognize Jesus with us, we begin to transform those very places with his presence.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.